welcome to a burning fire, Jeremiah 20 and verse 9. Your speaker is Jim Boyd. Truth has two sides. One is pleasant, the other is unpleasant. There are lessons that are pleasant to study. Others are very disturbing because they contain some very hard sayings. But to preach the whole counsel of God, as Paul said that he did in Acts 20, verse 27, we must preach both sides. People have various attitudes toward hell. Some deny there is such a place, just as they deny there is a heaven. Some contend for the place of reward, but they deny there is a place of punishment. Such inconsistency. Others say they believe there is a hell, but never preach about it, or they try to gloss it over and soften the horrors of it. Some dislike the appeal to fear for serving God. Well, it cannot be denied that the revelation of hell does cause fear. But while love is the highest motive for serving God, fear is a lesser motive and a very real one, and God uses it. In Hebrews 10 and verse 31, it is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. The Bible does teach that God is merciful and kind and loving. Our God is gracious, He is gentle, He is forgiving, and of such qualities of tenderness as a father who loves his children. But the Bible also teaches that God is just, and He's righteous and holy, and God is a God of wrath and of anger. Justice demands reward and the punishment. God could not be just if He treated goodness and evil just alike. The holiness and righteousness of God demands that He be angry toward wickedness. In the book of Revelation, we have suggestions of the grandeur and the glory of heaven. Words cannot adequately describe how glorious it is. But neither can words adequately describe hell. But there is sufficient description of both to make it easy for us to decide which we prefer. There is punishment after death and the judgment. In other lessons, we have substantiated this fact, but for the sake of time, we will not go into that area just here. We would assume that people who are interested in that study will study it, and you will find out beyond any shadow of a doubt in your mind that it is true that there is such a thing as punishment for the wicked after death and the judgment. Now, the eternal place of punishment is called hell. Matthew 10:28, Matthew 23:33. This is the word Gehenna. It's used 12 times in the New Testament. It comes from the Hebrew word Gohinnom, or the Valley of Hinnom. This valley was a deep and narrow glen south of Jerusalem where Ahaz introduced worship to the fire gods, and Jews even offered their children to the false god Molech. It became an abominable place to the faithful Jew. Later, it became the location of a common refuge, the city dump, so to speak, into which were cast all the bodies of animals and criminals and all sorts of filth. There, they were burned. Because of the depth and the continual burning there, with smoke ascending from it, it became the symbol of the place of spiritual punishment, from whence hell took its name. This place of punishment is synonymous with the second or spiritual death. And who shall inhabit hell? The Bible tells us who shall. Most people will go there. Matthew 7:13 and 14. Friend, this is a hard saying. It's even harder to realize. It is distressing to think that any one of us might be of that number. But hell is the place for the devil and his angels, Matthew 25 and verse 41. And there is a list of evildoers in Revelation 21 and verse 8. Again in Galatians 5, 19 through 21. The Bible tells us who shall inhabit hell. There are only two spiritual kingdoms and two spiritual destinies. One kingdom belongs to God and is destined for heaven. The other kingdom is that of the devil, and it is bound for hell. Those who work the works of the flesh and follow the ways of sin are in Satan's kingdom and under his dominion. They have justified expectation of hell. Persecutors of the church shall be in hell, Revelation 20, verse 19. And so shall be those who obey not the gospel, 2 Thessalonians 1, 7 through 9. Christians who fall away and are not restored, those who depart into apostasy, they will be there, 2 Peter chapter 2, 20 through 22. And how this should arouse the lukewarm and the indifferent and the lethargic and the negligent and the worldly-minded member of the church. How this should warn those who introduce unauthorized innovations and doctrines among brethren. How this should motivate us to good works, James 4:17, and encourage us to abstain from all appearance of evil, 1 Thessalonians 5 and verse 22. How this should provoke us to seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, Matthew 6 and verse 33. Hell is as ugly and dreadful as heaven is marvelous and beautiful. Hell is a place of suffering, Matthew 25:30. The descriptions of the New Testament are penetrating to the mind of the most awesome suffering that one can imagine. Indeed, it is beyond imagination. It is a place of fire and brimstone, Revelation 20 and 10. The fire is unquenchable, Mark 9, 44-45. It is called a lake of fire, Revelation 20:15, and a veritable baptism of fire, Matthew 3:12. It is a furnace of fire, Matthew 13:42. It is also described as a place of outer darkness, Matthew 25 and verse 30, removed from the Father of lights. Now some may ask, how can there be fire and darkness at the same time? My answer is that I don't know. Nor do I have to know to believe it. I have confidence in the revelation of God's Word, knowing He speaks of spiritual things here. It will be as God declares it, whether I understand it all or not. And my dear listening friend, you had best do the same thing. And just like heaven in one respect, hell will never end, Matthew 25:46. It is a place where the worm dieth not, Mark 9, verse 44. Some teach that the wicked at their death will be annihilated and will simply cease to exist. But the Scriptures teach that there is existence both for the righteous and the wicked after death, John 5, 28 and 29. Furthermore, there is consciousness, Luke 16, 19 through 31. Hell will be a place of regret for all who go there. So many will be in hell that could have so easily escaped it. They will have had numerous opportunities, and there were those who constantly urged them to obey God and be saved. And they will remember those invitation songs and those prayers and the loved ones who loved them enough to warn them and to plead with them. If they had one more opportunity to leave the wages of sin, they would not have any hesitation. But their opportunities will be gone, and no hope remains. As we study this subject, we're also aware that most people never think of hell except in terms of other people, seldom themselves. Some never think of it at all, except to use the word in their profanity. But realizing that the same Bible that tells of salvation in heaven also warns of sin and hell, we are sobered into the reality that we must do the will of our Creator. And if we do go to hell, it will not be because God wants us to perish, 2 Peter 3 and verse 9. It will be because we refuse to accept His gift of salvation offered through Christ. How foolish we be to deny ourselves of His bounty, but invite upon ourselves the wrath of a just God. This has been A Burning Fire, and your speaker is Jim Boyd. Until next time.